Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For Geek's Sake. My name is Al Sterling. In the studio today with producer Dan.
Hey, everybody.
And the empathic co-host, Danielle Wilcheski.
Hello, everyone. That is very true. I am very empathic.
Right. That's what I've always heard about you. Whenever I talk to anybody, like, oh, Danielle, she's so empathic.
Is she the empathic one?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I love that you guys know me
No, that's absolutely true. And also joining us, we are so pleased to have our resident a Stranger Things expert. She's been recently dubbed. We are so pleased to have her. Miss Michelle Benoit is with us.
Very excited to be here.
We are glad to have you. Now, that is not a coincidence between the Benoit. Benoit is not just, you know, whatever. Michelle is actually producer Dan's wife, but she claimed dibs, which I guess you could do because Michelle also often comes and hangs out with us on the couch. While she's on
the
casting
couch.
I'm usually upside down. So.
Right, exactly. And she just straight up called dibs on it. And I was like, well, I don't know. And she's watched it three times. She has four pages of notes and knows more about it than the three of us put together. So I'm like, oh, congratulations. You're now the resident Stranger Things expert.
Yeah. Can we call her our senior correspondent of Stranger Things?
I'll go with that, too.
Like that.
I'll take it.
Yeah. I like it. Either way, she's here. So there's going to be tons of Stranger Things spoilers as we get there. You guys have had a couple months now to watch it. When did it air?
July 15th.
Okay, so yeah, you guys have had plenty of time
to
get this. It's eight episodes, for God's sakes.
Literally, if you haven't just stopped this episode right now, go watch the eight episodes and then come back.
Exactly. And watch them all at once. Don't sleep or eat in that time.
Oh, it's just dumb. Don't even do
I mean,
that.
You can eat while you watch.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But don't sleep while you watch. Miss.
No.
You should eat Eggos while you watch, really, is what you
should
do.
You really should eat all of the Eggos.
That's a good call. Okay, so that's what's coming on. We're going to... there won't be any spoilers until then, and we'll try to remember to put in the show notes when the spoilers are and all that fun stuff for those of you who don't care to. Let's move on to some This Week in Geek.
Yay!
This Week on Geek.
Up first, we have rumors of a new Warriors television show coming to TV starring the unbeatable Squirrel Gork.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. How much have you had to drink?
Not enough. Let's try that one more with the unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
It is a little bit of a tongue twister if you're trying to talk fast.
It is.
So what is New Warriors?
Okay, I get to say, well, I know exactly one thing. I remember exactly one thing about them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones who set off the first Civil War in Marvel and the comic books, Marvel Comics.
Right.
Boom.
They set off
the string of all the other stuff.
The string of events that leads to the Civil War.
That doesn't explain anything.
What are you talking about? I knew that.
Because the Civil War is slightly different in the comic books than it is in the movies.
Slightly?
Okay.
Slightly.
Well, I feel like a lot of things are different in the comic books than they are in the movies.
Yeah, usually a few things.
Okay.
They just don't translate. But anyway, so the New Warriors in the beginning of Civil War, they've got like a reality TV show crew with them, and they are like a misfit version of the Avengers.
Like they're younger, they're not as
This is a reality TV show. This is amazing.
It's like keeping up with the new Warriors.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I freaking love everything about this.
I now hate everything about this.
Oh, my
and
God.
And they're filming this scene where it's very cops-like. Where they're following these guys around, and they're about to bust down the door and take out these supervillains.
Yeah.
But they were outmatched, and these guys were much more powerful than them, beat their ass. Yeah.
Aww.
And one of them has this power to explode. And he exploded right next to a school bus in a school and took out, like, over 300 people.
Oh, that's
like
sad.
60 kids. Or I think it was
something like that.
I think I need to add zeros to those. I think it was, like, 3,000 people.
But then this is all filmed.
Kids.
Like, their whole embarrassment and
it's all on national TV.
Wow.
Right, national catastrophe.
Yeah.
I love everything about this and the other show, the one where it's, like, the villains' kids, the Runaways.
Yeah.
Freaking, these two shows are going to be so good. I'm so excited.
So this one is supposed to feature somebody who's not normally part of the New Warriors.
Right.
But Squirrel Girl, who has been getting, I feel like she's kind of taken Deadpool's place as the internet's new favorite superhero.
Right.
That everybody's going.
Only because Deadpool's been made.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they had to move their obsession onto somebody else.
Right.
And Squirrel Girl is a really interesting character here because... Like they kind of mess with her. She's a bit meta in a way. She's not. Uh-huh. She's not. She doesn't have a bad mouth. She doesn't break the fourth wall or any of the kind of.
Then how is she meta?
Well, they do weird stuff with her. Like Squirrel Girl has single handedly beat Thanos.
Like the god from Thor?
Yes. And
the
all
guy that's in the chair made of meteors and all the Marvel
and
movies.
And she also has beaten Wolverine one-on-one.
Yeah, what's her superpower?
Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom.
She has enhanced strength, speed, agility, and reflexes. She has small claws and enlarged incisors. Retractable knuckle spike.
A prehensile tail.
Yep.
These are funny words.
empathic bond with squirrels.
Empathic.
Yes.
Oh, just like you.
Just like me. I could be Squirrel Girl.
Including the two squirrels that she usually has with her, which are Monkey Joe
like
and Tippy Toe.
There's three
well,
squirrels.
Because she can talk to any of them, but she usually has two at least.
But Tippy Toe is the one I think that I usually hear referenced. When she beats Thanos and Dr. Doom and Wolverine, it's not in like a fight or whatever. I think Thanos she just convinces to go somewhere else. Like she shows him the error of his ways and finds him a new planet to
go,
whatever.
Because women can negotiate.
Well, and she's very almost Whovian in that way where like he usually just talks to the bad guys and makes them go away. You know?
Yeah,
there's not always
Whovian.
That much fighting.
Right.
But she does have some good powers too.
So let's discuss who they are saying might get the role. The internet thinks it's either going to be Anna Kendrick or Shannon Purser from Stranger Things.
So now, who's Shannon Purser?
She plays Barb on Stranger Things.
Okay. Down. I think Anna Kendrick might be my favorite for it.
First of all, I think she's too old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anna Kendrick is not too old. Oh my gosh. You're a terrible person for saying that.
No, she needs a younger look.
This isn't Squirrel Woman. This is Squirrel Girl.
Anna Kendrick looks like a girl. She's adorable.
She does occasionally still look like she's 12.
Right.
But I don't disagree. I mean, yeah. But that could be said of Barb, whose real name I'm not going to bother learning.
We've only seen her in, like, technically two episodes.
Yeah. And that's really all she's ever done.
Which we won't get into yet because we're not doing spoilers.
Right. Yeah. So, anyway. But I don't really necessarily think it's going to be either of those two.
I think
Kendrick is out because she's a movie star. This is a TV show.
And she's old.
And it seems like they're taking it a young direction, too, because they are it's a group of teenage superheroes.
So
yeah.
Who do
whole idea.
Who do you think should play her?
It depends on what age range they go with her, because you could portray her as a 13-year-old kid. You could easily do that, or you could have her as a 16, 17, 18-year-old.
How about they turn this into, like, Veronica Mars and pull an unknown out of the fold, and now we have a new Kristen Bell? Because
Kristen Bell would be an awesome Squirrel Girl.
If she were the right age. I mean, now she's a mom of two. We're not going to believe that she's a teenager anymore, even though they've stretched that several times in the movies recently. But her most recent movie, she was a mom in Bad Moms. We no longer want to believe that Kristen Bell is a teenager.
No, and I think you may be right here. But I think you have to put unless you were going to market this entire show towards tweens, you have to put Anna
Kendrick. I would still watch it, even if it was marketed towards tweens.
How about Zendaya?
Let's cast Zendaya in everything now.
I don't know who that is.
Did you not listen to our episode about her being
she's
cast
your
as
new
Mary
Jane?
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, she's gorgeous.
There you go.
But I think we need. I think you need a 16. The character needs to be between 16 and 18 years old. She's gonna have to be You don't drop her into the New Warriors unless you're planning on getting some name recognition.
Although you're still reaching.
Maybe?
Sure.
Selena Gomez could work.
But she needs to look sick. She needs to be. The character needs to be 16 to 18. The New Warriors need to be 16 to 18. And at which point, maybe we buy. Or maybe Squirrel Girl's in college with a bunch of high school, whatever. Right. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on the whole Target demo. Anyway, this whole thing is just rumors. Anyway, we haven't heard any hard confirmation from any studios yet.
It'd be great to see this on Hulu alongside The Runaways.
That would be a really good move.
Also because I have Hulu, so that's good.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the other major major factor to kind of keep in.
So are they both going to be rumored to be cartoons, or are they both going to be
No, they're both
to
rumored
live
to be live
action.
They're both live action.
That's right.
This one as a single camera sitcom type thing, comedy type thing. Up next, Dan, you know what, Dan?
What's up?
Why don't you just go ahead and take this one, buddy?
Oh, Dan, yay!
Well, I've wanted to talk about this particular franchise for quite a while, but we haven't had any reason to, unfortunately. But there is a museum that's got an exhibit called From Stargate to Comics, The Egyptian Gods and the Greek Culture. And in honor of this, they went and 3D printed an actual Stargate.
Like life size. or to scale, I guess.
Yeah. Took 1,000 man hours, 10,000 cuts to produce 2,000 individual pieces that they then painted and detailed out, and it's gorgeous.
I want to walk through it.
It's oh god.
And see what happens.
My concern is that you would like steal it, maybe?
You can't steal it. It's ginormous.
Don't underestimate Dan and his Stargate.
That's true.
I don't know why you haven't started 3D printing your own.
I know.
We are at Factor Studio in Winter Park or Orlando, Florida.
Right. And beautiful Factor Studio in beautiful Orlando, Florida has three 3D printers that you could be using working around the clock.
Right. And I don't
Would actually get upset about that. Don't actually, guys, just to be very clear here, folks. Don't do that.
I don't know if you guys watched the video of like the time lapse of them making it. They used all of the resources. It looks awesome. I think it showed that they had like 6 or 9 3D printers all working at the same time.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it looked like it was built in a place very similar to this with all the same tools and gadgets that we see here every
milling,
time that we're here.
They had laser cutting, etc. Sure.
So does it move?
It does not move.
No. Okay. I was going to say that was probably a bit. Yeah. I mean, we're saying if Factor did it, Factor would make it move, but that's. Well. Factor's better.
The ball is in their court.
Yeah, it's a come on. Somebody get Doug on the phone.
I called him out on Facebook already.
Good. Good. So the detail here is incredible.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's an accomplishment on its own. Right
okay,
there.
Wait. Let me ask you guys a question. Don't get mad at me, okay? If I walk through it, will I find Jason Momoa?
Yes.
Yes, I'm going.
Well, it depends on how many chevrons you dial in, technically.
Right. What does this mean?
You've got to get to the Pegasus Galaxy.
Right.
I don't know what all of these words are.
Oh, that's true, because you're going to have to unlock the last, was it the bonus one? What's this?
The ZPM.
Right. Yeah. You're going to have to.
I don't know what any of
that
stuff
first means. You need a 0-point module to give it the extra juice so that you can dial in an extra
chevron,
which is basically the coordinates and the address.
Mm-hmm. You guys sound like you're literally talking about a board game. And a 0-point module, I have a 0-point module. It means nothing. 0 point is 0 points. It's nothing.
Okay, you.
It's only the greatest source of energy that the Gwoll even know about. So
it means nothing. You see this one over here?
0 points is nothing. It's literally.
You know nothing. Okay.
Yeah. You and Jon Snow just need to calm it down over there. but yeah, though it looks phenomenal. You should absolutely guys check this out. Where was this located?
I don't actually know which museum it was.
Oh, Dan, you're fired.
I assumed you guys were already packing a road trip here.
You're fired.
Seriously.
It wasn't.
In Belgium. The Royal Museum of Mariemont.
Belgium?
Belgium. Yeah. I'm going to Belgium.
Really?
Screw it.
Come on, America.
I know. Why did Belgium have the Stargate before
we need
did?
To build a Supergate.
We do need to
Is
build a
Supergate. Is that a thing? Or are you guys just making up words now?
No, we're...
No, it's one that's big enough to get a spaceship through.
Do you know what's really funny, though, is all of our Stargate fans that are listening absolutely despise me now.
Oh, honey, they despised
the only
you
ones.
Before that. Oh, we both... That was good. We both went a different...
Oh, you two are adorable.
Yeah, well, don't set us up like that. Speaking of...
One of my favorite episodes of Stargate is the one where they had Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye the Science Guy.
No, I haven't seen. Which episode was that?
It was the one where Sam and what's his name, the Canadian guy. They are speaking at a
symposium.
A symposium for
that was the right word
for astrophysicists and such.
Then hijinks ensue.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Were they like? Was it a bit? Did they actually have speaking lines and everything?
Oh yeah.
I have to go back and I don't remember
that
episode.
Great.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Bill Nye, My man's getting his a new show on Netflix.
This is everything. This is
I'm
everything.
So
well, or and nothing because it's the
no,
vastness
it's
of
everything.
Space.
No,
and the,
I see what you did.
Oh my god, you guys have no idea. I'm so glad he's coming back to TV.
He never. I mean, this guy seriously has turned an old PBS show into just everything, dude. He and Neil over, they've been hanging out doing their thing.
But it's not like he's just some actor. He's actually sciencey, which is freaking amazing.
No, yes. You're not sciencey, so I guess I'm a little surprised that you're so excited about this.
No, you guys have no idea. I love Bill Nye. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, and who was it that used to be on Nick at Night when I would like...
Mr. Wizard?
Mr. Wizard. Oh, my God, Mr. Wizard.
Yeah, Mr. Wizard.
Mr. Wizard would take the kids outside and they'd do the balloon experiments and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Chemistry. Oh,
He was OG. I think Bill Nye probably grew up watching Mr. Wizard.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think science on TV is better than science in real life.
Of course you do.
And I mean, a lot of people think that he's just the TV kid show guy. But
right.
He's a real scientist. He's an engineer. He's the president of the Planetary Society.
Didn't you see him in the Universe of Energy at Disney? It's only a 20-minute show.
There you go. He was on Stargate.
So do we know anything about the show so far?
It's called Bill Nye Saves the World.
Yes.
And every episode will quote unquote, tackle a topic from a scientific point of view, dispelling myths and refuting anti-scientific claims that may be espoused by politicians, religious leaders, or titans of industry. So basically it's like Mythbusters for like science.
I think Dan's version here, Dan, you want to share your...
I'm thinking Cosmos meets John Oliver.
Okay, maybe, but probably a little bit of Mythbusters in there, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
He's, like, proving things.
I think you both have probably got a...
I literally read the quote from...
Right.
No, I imagine both of your takes were probably included in the pitch meeting.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was totally there.
So this actually reminds me, too, because Bill and I famously debated a hardcore creationist.
Yes.
Not too terribly long ago, and kind of went back. So I'm sure that probably serves as a jumping off point for this.
He took a lot of flack for that too.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only issue here, and I don't want to start going down this rabbit hole too far, but I think that I think probably a little bit of it for me personally was the idea that there's this flat out either or argument is probably
right
a little bit. I think most folks probably fall somewhere in the middle between those two.
So there is a new podcast, and I know we don't like me talking about other podcasts, but it's...
That's right, we hate them. Don't listen to any of the podcasts but ours.
It's run by Gimlet Media, and it's called Science Versus, and they literally take these controversial topics. Mm-hmm. They took not GMOs, they took organic foods, they took attachment parenting, and instead of looking at, like, this side says this and this side says this, they literally find actual scientific research, not just, oh, someone published a study in Australia and they say this. No, like, yeah, they
screw you, Australia.
Why do we hate Australia?
I don't know. I was just backing her up.
They find, like, actual scientific studies to prove or disprove each section of the theory. And so I feel like this is kind of the take that Bill Nye is taking, only a lot more people are going to watch it because Science Versus is, I mean, Gimlet Media is big, but it's no Bill Nye, it's no Netflix.
Right, yeah.
Right. So I'm very excited about this.
So do you think this will make you a little more science-y?
I'm going to learn all of the science from Bill Nye, and I'm going to bring it to you guys on the podcast, and I'm going to school you on my science.
Okay, so she's going to go from not very science-y to super science-y.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's not get crazy.
Speaking of science and space and things.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oops.
Oh, Elon.
Oh, Elon, you wanted desperately to be on our show again.
This week in Elon, unfortunately, isn't good news for the man. We had a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket that exploded in the launch pad. And if you have not seen the video for this, I don't normally watch these types of videos because I just don't – I don't know. It doesn't – Once I found out that nobody was hurt, then I was like, okay, I'll watch the video.
It's devastating.
It's amazing that nobody got hurt. This explosion, I mean
– it was a huge explosion.
And it was multiple explosions. One piece went and then another piece goes. You just watch this cascading explosions.
Well, it's like it was getting ready to go to space and like filled with fuel.
It's just loaded with some kind of like rocket fuel or something.
And it said that they knew that there was an anomaly and that they had cleared the launch pad. But why don't you scrub the launch? Like, is it too late at that point? Like, I don't know why they couldn't have scrubbed it.
Well, I mean,
they're clearing it.
I mean, an anomaly doesn't necessarily mean that you had something that was going to cause it to go boom. You know, I mean, an anomaly could be something incredibly minor, you know, or it could be something devastating. In this case, it probably looked minor, but
they were probably looking at the odds, going 90% chance this anomaly just makes it go off course by a degree.
So
5% chance it blows up in midair. You know, 1% chance it blows up on the pad, you know?
Unfortunately, I did do a little bit of research, and unfortunately SpaceX is facing some potential consequences from this.
I would imagine so. Very rarely. I mean, when my rocket exploded, there was a lot of...
I'm going to tell you what the consequences were, you jerk. So on the Falcon...
Congressional hearing. It was embarrassing for me.
On the Falcon 9 rocket, there was set to deploy an Amos 6 satellite from a company called Spacecom. Now, this is a satellite, and Spacecom had done a merger deal last month with a Chinese firm called, I'm probably going to say it wrong, but Xinhui Technology Group.
That actually sounded pretty good.
The,
I mean, I'm sure your Mandarin's not on
right,
point here, but
right.
I'm, but like, way to pronounce that in a
Thanks.
Way that sounded real.
Thanks. So their merger was worth $285 million and was literally contingent on this specific satellite making it to space. So now,
oops,
Spacecom is going after SpaceX and saying that because you've lost one of the satellites, you owe us $50 million or a free flight from your company.
The Falcon 9 rocket worth
$200 million. That was the payload. The payload on the rocket was worth $200 million. The rocket itself cost $60 million. And it
is
says,
that all
and
those things
says,
have come down a, I'm, in all sincerity, those have come down a lot
since you tried to buy one for your super villain.
It wasn't for my supervillain. It was for my supervillain thing. Yeah. But I mean, we used to. I mean, I'm remembering the cost of sending like the Columbia and stuff like that. You know, those up to. That's actually not.
Well, that was a manned mission. It was a much larger vehicle. You had to account for humans. This is purely payload.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
That's true.
And fuel.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. It says that Musk's SpaceX told Reuters in an email that it would not disclose contractor insurance terms, but it still has 70 missions planned already on the books for both commercial and government customers worth an estimated $10 billion.
Yeah.
So, like, yes, $60 million is, like, a lot of money, and yeah, it sucks that they lost $200 million of payload, but they've got $10 billion on the books.
Yeah, there's an insurance
like
company
planned.
Somewhere out there that's going, son of a bitch.
Yeah,
but right. They're going to pay it out because SpaceX is going to make the money back. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But their premiums, those also exploded.
Yeah.
Hey.
I see what you
see. And again, I would only make that joke because I know that no one got hurt.
Right.
Otherwise, I would not be making these.
Well, SpaceCom and Xinhui's feelings definitely got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And their pocketbooks, potentially. So.
One of the things that was really disappointing was one of these satellites that was going up there was supposed to be providing internet service to a big chunk of Africa. There's gonna be a lot of that. That part is also kind of devastating there because that's something that can be really needed there for a lot of those countries. So there's definitely problems here. I'm not trying to downplay it.
No, we don't want to make light of it.
But no one was hurt.
It's all replaceable.
It's just stuff. And most of the folks that are impacted here are like jillionaires anyway. So and there's insurance claims and everybody else. So it's not as bad as it could be.
It's just every time there's one of these, it just makes people think this is a big waste of money, like continue thinking.
Right. Well, and that's, if you want to think that, you go ahead and just grab your cell phone, which communicates with outer space.
Exactly.
And tweet about that on a system that could not possibly exist without the space program and tell everybody how this is a big waste of time.
And take out all your Velcro fasteners and.
Right.
And stop eating your Dippin' Dots.
Spit out your Tang.
Spit tank. But unlike Tang, Dippin' Dots have never actually made it to space. I'm just saying, I learned this.
I know, but Dippin' Dots were based off of what it's like to eat food in outer space.
And you know why they haven't made it to space?
Because
you're not an astronaut, Al.
I just assume because they're terrible.
Oh.
They're delicious.
Oh, my God. So good. Are you on crack?
Not at the moment.
Dippin' Dots is delicious.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. It's ice cream.
No. Let's go very simple here.
It's not ice cream.
No, we're pausing the whole show.
It's delightful, but it's not ice cream.
To address this issue. If you had the choice between Dippin' Dots.
Okay.
And a half gallon of real ice cream. Telling me the same the same flavor for both of them. Are you telling me?
How about the mint chocolate chip?
That's fine. Mm. So if you're telling me that you've got mint chocolate chip Dippin' Dots and mint chocolate chip actual honest to God ice cream, you're taking Dippin' Dots?
They're way more fun to eat.
The best part is when they get a little melty, so they're like kind
like
of
ice
wet.
Cream?
It's delicious.
I fucking love wasabi.
Cool. There's our one for the episode.
I love Dippin' Dots so much. I don't even care.
I'll take Jeremiah's Scoop Froggy Frog over that anytime.
Oh, Scoop Froggy Frog. Yes.
You know what else I like about Dippin' Dots is how ridiculously expensive it is.
Yeah, no, it's great to pay a lot of money for a very small cup of ice cream.
Mediocre ice cream.
That tastes like dry ice until it melts. At which point it tastes like, you know, ice cream.
I am loving this so much.
Speaking of things that explode.
Yes.
God.
The Samsung Galaxy Note 7.
I hope you're not listening on one right now.
Right? If you are, just make sure you keep it. Just pull up the charger.
Just run. Just run away from it.
This, in a move that can only be described as oops, some QAQC guy, I guarantee, there's some QAQC director at Samsung that has lost his job. Or her job. You know, it's an equal opportunity. Who knows? Men and women can both screw up horrifically. There is a teeny tiny problem with the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 that occasionally, while charging, causes it to explode.
And because of this, they have to recall 2.5 million units that have already been sold in like the last week.
Yeah.
Oops.
I don't want to. I haven't seen a video. Have you found a video of them exploding yet?
No, I haven't. But hey, if your screen broke before your phone blew up.
Good on you.
Good for you.
Or just plug that. Or if you need to later on, just plug that in. Wait for it to explode.
Exactly.
And then send it in.
No, don't do that. But do you guys
remember? That's a flawless plan. What are you talking about?
Do you guys remember when the iPhones had something that would like explode in people's pockets or something? Or like ignite and like burn people?
Yeah.
This happened before.
Yeah. I don't think we got to use the phrase explode though.
No. It was like got super hot.
And there was there was something that caused like it straight up broke.
It would combust and it would like.
But it was a really disappointing explosion.
Right.
Like when I hear that it explodes, like if it doesn't go off with like a 10-meter radius on it, you know what I mean? Like, if I can't use this to take out my enemies, then I don't see any point.
No.
Although my supervillain conglomerate is actually buying these particular Galaxy Note 7s for our own nefarious purposes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're buying all the recalled ones. So we're
gonna put a
them.
6 on it, so people won't know.
Exactly, and then we disperse it as part of my evil plan to very, very slowly.
Burn people's
little bit
desk side tables.
Right. Take out the nightstands of the world.
Yeah.
And first the nightstands, then tomorrow the world. So
you're like Pinky in the Brain.
Right. It's not quite as big as I wanted it to be, so which is kind of disappointing. But I felt the same thing about the iPhones. But
no explosions have ever been big enough for you.
They have not. You know what was?
Well, that one.
Yeah, that one from the previous story. That one was.
Oh well, yeah.
That was wow. Actually, that was one of the things I always thought was funny too. Is when you ever see these movie explosions, they're always like, you know, like somebody flipped over a table. Actually, I remember this. Did you ever play GoldenEye?
No.
Yeah, for the Super Nintendo, I think it was.
Yeah,
where there was a tape. If you shot a table enough times, the table would literally explode.
Right. Because it's a video game.
Right, and I thought that was amazing. But they always make these explosions bigger than they're actually going to be, except for propane tanks. A lot of times, propane tanks, they don't quite get big enough, because if you can actually ignite one, which, by the way, is very difficult. Don't ask me how I know. But when they go up big.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. It's fun. Anyway, the Iranian's done talking about explosions now.
Yeah, ooh. Probably best.
Speaking of things that exploded in a good way, Stranger Things. All right. Oh, so
excited.
I was a little late to this particular party.
Uh-huh.
Later than me. Yay.
Yes.
It means I win.
You do. You don't lose. This is probably the better way to say that. But I was actually kind of glad because I got to binge watch it proper. The wife and I got a little bit of vacation time, and because of children and life, when we got vacation time, we just sat and watched television just because we wanted peace and quiet for just a little bit.
And luckily, Netflix made something just for you.
It really did. We quite literally Netflix and chilled.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's all you really did.
Netflix, Stranger Things, amazing, just phenomenal. But let's start. I want to start here. Michelle has got notes for days. But I'll kind of get in the same point here. On a 1 to 5.
We did this last episode that you didn't listen to.
That's fine. Wasn't here. Neither was Michelle. It was just me and you.
Okay.
1 to 5 stars here. Where are you putting it out there, Dan?
I went last time with a 4.5, and I'm
you're sticking with it. Yeah. What about you?
Last time I also said 18 stars, and I'm also sticking with that.
Sticking with 18. Okay, yeah. That's not a real number. It's not helpful for us.
It actually is a real number. It just wasn't on their scale.
It doesn't provide a realistic.
How about 10? No. You want five?
You're fired.
You want five?
You're fired.
You can't fire
Congratulations,
me.
Michelle. You got no, I'm actually, I'm also going to give it a 4.5. And I think I enjoyed Jessica Jones more.
Why?
Because I felt like I loved what it was doing. I love what Jessica Jones did and said and where it took a lot of things. And so I feel like Jessica Jones may edge it out. But we're talking like 4.75 versus 4.7. You know what I mean? Like we're talking like
sure
top of the charts no matter what. I think Jessica Jones edged it out for me. I think I liked it as much, if not maybe a little bit more than Daredevil season one. So,
okay.
I mean, we're in the stratosphere as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Now, you, Michelle, I'm going to assume, gave it at least 3 stars.
Oh, please. I gave it 5 stars.
Okay. So, why don't you start by telling us, I mean, I'm assuming everybody here has already listened to the show. Oh, sorry, obviously that too. Everybody's already watched the series. So, why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about the highlights. What do you think has made Stranger Things so big?
Honestly, the child actors. They are amazing.
And that's legit because
you put everything else that this show has, and without the amazing performances by those kids, it all falls apart.
Yeah,
the casting couldn't have been any better. The kids completely held their own. The fact that Millie Bobby Brown, who plays 11, was able to emote just with her eyes or her change of breathing, and you knew exactly what she was trying to tell you. I mean. Apart from her unforgettable one-liners, it was fantastic.
Friends and don't lie.
And you know what? I think that's true. And I think that's really important because you see with a lot of these child actors, it's painful, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a credit to the writers for creating, you know, creating scripts that actually work with kids, that actually felt like the kind of, I mean, you watch it, and you're right. It's a testament to these actors, too, because the back and forth. I remember I was sitting there when you that very first episode, when they've got the four kids are sitting there playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I knew you'd be hooked right then.
I mean, we've had that type of comp. We've played.
We
those
were
games.
Those kids
exactly. Yeah. I mean, we may not none of them have been exactly the same, but yeah, we're sitting there playing these games, and everybody else freaks out and runs around and just loses their damn mind because we're kids and we haven't been taught we can't do that yet.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the fact that they were so good and carried so much of the story on their own, and even when there were, you know, subplots with the, you know, the adults are figuring stuff out and they're figuring stuff out, you know, when you go to a scene with Winona Ryder, who is a known actress, mm-hmm. she's proven her chops, everything else, and then you cut to a scene with the kids and you're like, this is better than her. Like, not... But
no, I get what you're saying.
Those scenes were incredible. Like, I found myself wanting more and more of what's his name and 11. Like, their little relationship.
Mike,
thank you. Their relationship. Like, I'm sorry, chemistry between two children like that, you can't fake that. That's real.
It was so good. It was real.
And the other thing that I think is really important here is anytime you've got a story that focuses on kids saving the day, obviously with Stranger Things, but also with like a Harry Potter, for example, there is a certain amount of the story that is dependent upon parents being god and adults in general being horrible at their job.
Right.
And
thankfully they placed it in the 80s when that was the case. Because I know you parents are way better now. But think about it this way. Try to set that story with helicopter parents. It's not going to work.
No, agreed.
You have to have parents that literally don't know anything going on in their kids' lives.
Didn't realize there was a girl living in the basement. I think it's a testament to the writing and to the child actors.
Yes.
That didn't feel... That wasn't such an obvious thing. Like, you watch Harry Potter, and I love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But you watch Harry Potter, and you look at Dumbledore, and you're like, dude, what is wrong with you? You know, like...
The worst principal ever.
Seriously, man. You've got kids dying at your school.
Careful,
spoilers?
Careful.
It does. But no, it does. It legitimately requires this. But here, it didn't feel... It wasn't as obtrusive.
Nothing felt forced.
Right.
The dynamics all felt real. The writing was so good. Okay, Michelle, what else do you think was amazing?
The nostalgia.
Oh, yeah.
For me... I consider this a love letter to the 80s, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Because, even though some of the songs were made in maybe 86, 87, who cares? This was a love letter to the 80s. This was basically our homage to the 80s. We're celebrating this.
Right.
So I loved that with between the point where they find Eleven and she's standing there in the rain. That's an E.T. nod right there.
Oh, yeah.
When she points to Will's faint picture. And then he's like, that's our friend. Boom. E.T. nod. You know?
Right.
I mean, I just love the nods, the nostalgia from it. You get the Goonies. You get Stand By Me as they're walking in the train tracks and the two are walking in the back and then the others are walking in the front. That's totally Stand By Me right there. You get the Breakfast Club, Jaws. You got it all. I mean, and it doesn't matter.
The cops actually wore the uniforms from Amity.
Is it
from
really?
The Jaws yes. movies.
That's awesome.
Those were the replicas of those costumes.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
And you can't forget Alien.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of references to Alien.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think what was really great about the nostalgia here, too, is that it wasn't like, – you get this a lot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff out there that is – I mean, what was the Goldbergs, right, which is just
– I like the Goldbergs, but it's very cheesy, and it tends to be very on the nose with its nostalgia. Like, we're going to shove our nostalgia down your throat.
Well, exactly. They're,
and Stranger Things just kind of existed in that space.
Right, and that's where I think – and exactly it. And I think that, like, where you have something like the Goldbergs, which to me is a great example of it's trading on the 80s for the sake of trading on the 80s because they know that there's a nostalgia factor out there for folks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, where you have Stranger Things, which felt like – rather than a, oh, there's one, oop, there's one, oop, there's one worth of Easter eggs, you have it something that felt very natural and very much in that space. Even if, like you said, if the song came out in 88 instead of 82, whatever. You know,
right.
I'm not going to.
But like the first episode when they're going home and they're racing and he says, if I win, I get one of your comic books. He's
yeah.
Like, yeah, any comic book. And he says X-Men 132, I think it was.
134.
134. Which is the first appearance of the Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
Like, they went deep with these references, but mm-hmm. didn't shove it down your throat. It was just all right there on the surface, but it wasn't the purpose of everything.
Right, because even if you're not a child of the 80s, even if you're not, if you're like me and just kind of over a lot of the 80s, mm-hmm. there's not, you're not to the point
you
where you
can never be
like
over the 80s. I'm sorry.
It's
exactly.
It's not that hard. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is decide to be in the 90s instead.
I prefer to be in the knots.
But they did a great way. They had a great way of like duplicating a Spielberg feel.
Oh, absolutely!
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
With their directing, while kind of doing a Stephen King feel with their writing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And it just came together so well.
Absolutely,
it really
it's great.
And I think that's. I think that's part of it. I think that there's definitely this, not just to the things of the 80s, you know, a la Goldbergs where, hey, look, there's comic books. Hey, look, there's, you know, like the radios. They look, hey, look, there's the song. But there's also a really nice feel to the feel of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're right on there. What else you got for us? What else do you think is really contributing to why this has done so well?
The flow of the show. The cinematic feel did not feel like I was watching a television series or a season or episode one, episode two, episode three. It felt like I was watching an actual movie because just the way it ended and then it would come back to the next episode, it just flowed so well together that it was more like a movie. I'd rather call this a movie, and that's what the Duffer Brothers were going for in the first place,
was
sure. the feel of a movie instead of it being a series.
Sure.
So that to me was very important because it just felt like this is the easiest Netflix binge possible to watch right now.
And how do you think the episode number played into that at all? The fact that there were 8 episodes instead of the usual 12 or 24?
No, it didn't bother me at all.
Do you think it would have been able to carry it as well if they tried to stretch it?
No.
Okay, so you kind of
feel
like
I think it was designed for binging.
That's why I think it's so perfect for binging.
Yeah, I come to the same spot. I agree because I think that there is. You could have done this with 12 episodes, but I feel like at that point we're going to have a wasted. We're going to have a bottle episode.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're going to have some kind of, you know. But I think you're right. I think there was a very deliberate pacing here throughout the entire thing. I don't feel like we wasted any time.
Totally agree.
I think the pacing was awesome because every single episode you learn something new.
Yes.
And it didn't feel like, oh, my God, that was such a waste. We didn't learn anything or like.
It didn't advance the story
right,
or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
It felt like the story was. To me, in the beginning, it almost felt like the story was advancing too quickly. I was like, oh, my God, how are they going to have anything left by the finale? But they did. They just kept building
and they left you wanting
building.
More.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, because we spent almost no time in the Upside Down.
Right.
You know, we spend almost no, and they sure as hell leave you with plenty to look at for the future here. Mm-hmm. I mean, they left a lot of questions at the end, but none of the crucial ones.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and I love that it wasn't just these sci-fi tropes that we're so used to. They managed to have all these throwbacks, all these things that we've seen and we recognize without it being the same old story. You know, one of my problems with Suicide Squad, it quickly turned into, oh, it's the heroes fighting a bunch of zombies again.
Right.
You know, which it's no different than the Avengers with the aliens. And it seems like every big superhero movie right now ends up with this climax of them fighting an army of zombies.
Also,
and destroying a city.
Also, Suicide Squad is everyone is important. So you play your role and you play your role and you play your role.
Yeah.
That didn't really happen in Stranger Things. Like, yeah, everyone had a place, but like, it wasn't like, oh, this is my job. I'm going to go do this.
Right.
One other thing I wanted to talk about that I felt was so freaking amazing. So we find out that Eleven, obviously, has never had her mother because she was taken from her mother when mm-hmm. she was born.
Yes.
So when we see them in the gym and the relationship that she has with Winona almost instantly, like, it gives me chills just thinking about that connection that she just felt so safe finally with, like, a mother figure. Like,
exactly, because her whole life it had been just this man, Papa, Dr. Brenner.
Right.
Basically forcing her to do the things that she didn't really want to
exactly.
do. She had no ounce of love. It was, you're going to do this, you're a weapon, and that's it. And when Winona comes in, no matter how much hell she's going through, because her child is missing, people think she's crazy because she's trying to communicate with her child. But you know, as a mother myself, I would do anything in this world, no matter if it's Christmas lights, light bulbs, I don't care. If I have to chop through the wall, I will find my child.
Right.
So the fact that she was able to do that for Eleven,
mm-hmm.
even through her own struggles and anxieties, that's right. been clear, was amazing. And she was there for, she said, I'll be there for you. I'm here. If you ever get scared, just let me know. Just let me know. I'll take care of you. We're okay. And that was very emotional for me. And I got a lot of goosebumps, a lot of tears.
Yeah.
And it was like the first time she was experiencing true love from a woman figure. Because
true love, period. Because technically her relationship with her papa was like abusive from day one.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Like, she's never experienced someone that truly just cared about her.
Exactly.
So,
and I think, to kind of zoom out a little bit more here, the pacing here and the way that these relationships progress is a key aspect to what I feel like is making this show work.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just suddenly you really want the kids to go to an adult really early on and be like, hey, we found this girl in the woods. Mm-hmm. We probably need to get an adult involved here.
But right. the fact that they keep saying, no, we can't do that. We'll get in trouble.
Well, right.
Is realistic.
But it is. But that means that when you get to the point where Winona Ryder is introduced to Eleven, you have something that has been earned.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And I talk about this when we talk about movies all the time.
And there was a payoff.
You've got to earn that. You've got to earn that emotional payoff,
yep.
and they did. I feel like that's really, really important. Oh, I know you've got a couple of points, but I want to switch gears on you a little bit, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with it? If you were to identify a weak point or two within the show, I mean, obviously it was good. Obviously we all liked it. But if you were to identify a weak spot, what do you think the weak spot here is?
I don't know really. My problem is there's just so many strings left untied that I can't come up with any theories. Like, is Eleven going to come back?
Yes.
We're
going to talk about fan theories.
We already, you know, we already know they're going to introduce a new female character.
Right.
So I don't know.
That's your biggest anxiety is Eleven coming back?
I have the
She goes
anxiety.
To bed at night, like, chanting, is Eleven coming back? Is Eleven coming back? Is Eleven coming back?
So I want to say one thing that I found kind of weak was, and I know because I read a lot of fan theories, which is why I'm going to talk about fan theories, but a lot of people had the same issue. It's like Barb.
That's actually where I was going to point.
She's in two episodes. She dies. And then no one gives a crap that she's gone.
I feel like.
Where are her parents? She has the worst parents.
They show up at the one mom's house like for a minute. But yeah, no one's looking
They're
for
not
Bob.
Out there searching. They're not trying to talk
and
to Christmas lights.
I read a statement from the writers that say that the span of everything that we're seeing on Stranger Things actually takes place within like 48 hours.
Mm.
So realistically, like, the reason they're not looking for Barb is because there's not that they're not looking for Barb. It's just like all of this stuff is happening right now. Right. And like, there's obviously going to be fallout. And that's, I've read somewhere that that might be what they focus on in season two.
I felt like Barb was a wasted opportunity here.
Yes.
And I feel like she was an inconsistent character who was,
she was a plot device.
She was. And I guess my thought here is, like, you see in Barb a strong, independent female,
yep, mm-hmm,
who is completely capable of taking care of herself in a more or less. Mm-hmm. And when you see her getting pulled down, look, I'm all for running, okay? If confronted with a monster, there's no problem with running, no shame in running. You do what you got to do. But there comes a certain point when you're like, all right, motherfucker, we're doing this thing, and nope, I'm going out swinging. I said, motherfucker.
Okay.
And I'm going down swinging.
Same thing.
I would have turned around. I feel like Barb would have. I feel like if Will can survive out there for however long,
yeah,
that Barb would have been able
but
to.
But Barb was also cut in the beast. The Demogorgon is attracted to blood. Now, when they found Will's bike, there was no blood. So
sure, and I get that. You're not wrong there. I just feel like there was an opportunity for that. And then again with the parents, there's a couple points when I'm looking at the plot points and I'm like, of course you found her mother. Like Eleven. Of course you found Eleven's mother. Like that's mm-hmm. just. I
want to know what's up with 1 through 10.
That I did find interesting too. Yeah, I am too. I feel like the show's a little inconsistent because I felt like they were trying to say that she was 11 years old, and I don't.
No, she was number 11.
Right.
That's why she has 11 tattooed on her.
Right.
They didn't change the tattoo every year, Al.
I didn't think so, but I felt like it.
They wait until you're 11 and then tattoo.
Did you have any spots, any weak points that jumped out for you, Dan?
Not really. I thought the writing was strong, directing was strong, performances were strong. I love the monster. It's
terrifying.
Yeah.
I feel like we saw 2 or 3, though.
We may have.
Maybe.
That's one of the fan theories I came across.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? No, you
didn't come across
them?
I came across a few
fan
theories.
All right. You're just thinking about them?
I feel that we're going to get a whole new monster for the next season.
I wouldn't be surprised
just
by that.
Based
yeah.
on the ending where they use the hydro,
right?
Something I don't know.
Right. Whatever the hydro type monster. What did you have anything else on Barb though before we jump in?
I just had a funny comment. I was like, you know, what the hell? No one is looking for Barb. It's like there's no posters.
Right.
There's no hey, have you seen Barb? They just find her car and basically that's it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, Barb's gone. Might as well head off to Cabo. You know?
Yeah.
So it was just like, she's kind of gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they had 10 episodes, that would have been great. That's pretty much the only thing I can think of.
No, and that's true because, I mean,
what it's lacking, you know?
Because if you were going to do that, then you have to tell me what you're going to put in this place. I get that. So
right.
Like, you're either gonna have to stretch this out, which I'm not sure would have been a great move, or you're going to have to cut something else from the storyline, of which there is nothing to cut
because it's so tight.
There is one thing that they could have cut because they mention it a couple times and then don't really flesh it out. Is there was obviously a previous relationship with Hopper and Winona Ryder's mm-hmm. character. There's some sort of previous romantic relationship. They never go down that path. They never discuss what happened between them.
Sure.
Right.
The only past thing that we know about Hopper is that he loses his daughter to illness.
Yes.
Like, so the fact that they were even connected at some point is completely lost. It completely does no service to the plot. So I think that they could have spent the 5 minutes that they spent trying to develop, or not trying to develop, trying to establish that fact, they could have given us a little bit more Barbness.
And I think that's really, for me, the weak point going forward. I think that the problem here is that you've got – when you get – and I say this about a lot of Netflix shows. I've said the same thing about Orange is the New Black and A House of Cards. Really, one season done really, really well and wrap it and call it. I'm not saying that the great things haven't happened.
I'm not saying
that great things haven't happened in season two for a couple of these shows. But, I mean, Stranger Things could have been a one, you know, completely condensed story. At that point, sure, make it 12 episodes. Add in a couple more. It could be one story because my concern here is this old saying, you know, you can either die the hero or live long enough to become the villain. And I feel like shows do the same thing where the folks at Netflix are going to milk this for season two and then season three. And then season four, we're going to jump to a different group of characters that are dealing with a different whatever, you know. And it's just going to get I worry about that.
Don't fortune tell. You don't know.
Well,
it could be amazing.
It could be, but
And they still have a lot of unanswered questions.
Sure, sure. Oh. They did the same thing in House of Cards. And I'm going to tell you that I got bored and stopped watching it. You know?
I still watch House of Cards. I still think it's amazing. You're the one that's wrong here, not me.
Well, okay. So what do we know so far about season two?
So the only thing they've released so far is that teaser. And the teaser went through the names of the episodes here. So you wanna go through those real quick?
Yes. The first one is Mad Max.
As one word, not two.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, The Boy Who Came Back to Life. Mm. The third, The Pumpkin Patch.
I'm hoping for a Charlie Brown.
The fourth, The Palace. The fifth, The Storm. The sixth, The Pollywog. Seventh,
In a Bog.
The Secret Cabin. Eight, The Brain, and nine, The Lost Brother.
So we know we're getting nine episodes now.
Right. Which is something.
Yeah. And there has been a casting call in Los Angeles for a female character named Max.
Yeah, the female character.
Which would obviously be the Mad Max reference.
Will be played. She will look boyish. Her name will be Max. She will ride a skateboard instead of the bikes that the boys ride.
Right.
And the question is she good or is she bad?
I'm assuming that they're going to use her to fill the obligatory spunky female character.
I was almost hoping that what would happen is that we would get 12 or 10 or 9. And,
right.
You know, in this next, and keep Millie Bobby Brown,
mm-hmm.
and have them all as clones.
Well,
and the experiment, you know what I mean?
No, because they weren't clones. These were pregnant women that he was pumping drugs. They're not clones.
Yeah.
So what have you? So let's jump into some fan theories here, then.
Okay. So the first fan theory, which is the most important, and it's actually one that I kind of spotted early on in the season, is that 11 is the monster. So you have a Demogorgon who has two faces, a deceptive and a destructive. So if you take the alien and 11, and you also take the fact that 11 is the one that called him into our universe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it could be her fighting her own demons. There's a lot of imagery that they were playing with the fact that she was the first one in the Upside Down. She kind of created it. And like I said, the deceptive, destructive. So also, I think she's still alive. He put Eggos in the goddamn box. Sorry, pardon my French. But he put Eggos in there. Obviously, it has to be. So that's one of the biggest fan theories right now, is that 11 is the monster, which means she probably would be coming back, but maybe as a bad guy. Hmm. So the second fan theory.
Time out. I want to do that. Michelle, what do you think? Is that holding your water for you?
I can accept that. I hate to see her as a bad guy because I just got so attached to her character and just every emotion she felt I was feeling. But I can accept that.
Well, okay. Did we talk about the theory about the real life?
No, we haven't talked
inspiration
about that yet.
Oh, no, not, we haven't gotten there yet. No, we'll get there in a minute.
Well, because that kind of leads into that, because basically there's this urban legend of a complex where tests and experiments were being done on children like this.
Camp Hero.
And that one of the children brought something into existence, a monster into existence that ran amok in the facility and killed a bunch of people until they unplugged the thing that the kid was attached to.
The chair.
Right.
Right. Yeah,
that kind of goes with what you were saying about 11 being the monster in a way.
I said that in the very beginning because 11 was the one that could like locate people and like contact them, and she went in the chamber and I was like, I wonder if 11 is the monster, but I thought that they were going to physically make her the monster. But if you look at the fact that the alien is modeled after the Demogorgon, which is two heads, destructive and deceptive, then it would make sense if 11 is a part of that.
Well, mm-hmm. And I track that. I guess it's also very, very suspicious that the only creature that we see in the Upside Down is the Demogorgon.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And some eggs.
Right. But we don't actually see anything.
It's a nod to Alien.
Right, we don't even actually 100% know those are eggs. I mean, I also assume they are, but it's not.
Speaking of eggs, brings me to the second fan theory, which is actually a personal, mine and my friend Abby's, this is our fan theory, is that Will, who we see at the very end, coughing up a slug and then psh, 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 he's like in the upside down. Mm-hmm. I think he's been implanted with a bunch of eggs, and that links him to the upside down. And I think in season two, we're going to see him being able to go back and forth like Eleven could, but in a different capacity.
Yeah, they did say that we are going to see more of the upside down in season two. So,
and
yeah.
Will's very clearly going to be a strong link between those two.
Right, because as soon as he pops up the slug,
he's changed
there.
For life now.
Yeah. Well, I would assume so. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Plus when he gets back to school, everybody's going to be like, dude, you had an open casket.
Yeah, you were dead.
You were dead. We saw your body.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it was full of stuffing, but we saw it.
Yeah. We saw a body.
That's pretty weird.
My third isn't really a fan theory. It's more of a question. Do you guys think Hopper is the new, like, big bad? Like, is he?
That's what I'm wondering is what deal did he make?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Mm-hmm.
God, Dr. Brenner was such a great bad guy.
He really was, but now Hopper is being, like, he gets in the car with the bad guys and, like, then brings the Eggos to Eleven's box.
Yeah, so it's very confusing.
It
You're
is.
Like, what deal was made? What's going on? What's happening here?
Yeah.
Well, and my hunch here is that you're going to get one of those, it's not going to be quite as cut and dry.
Yeah.
As he's a, I mean, he's going to be one of, he's going to, I think this is going to get modeled as he's the grown up who had to make the grown up choice, mm-hmm. you know? And so in order to save everybody, he had to go ahead and make a deal here.
Well, and he's not the only one that was in the upside down without a mask.
Right.
So Winona.
They could all be infected too. They could end up spitting out slugs. This could become an epidemic.
Well, and I don't know. Personally, I get that we saw Barb. I get that we saw that Barb was dead. Mm-hmm. But in the world of the upside down, I mean, I wouldn't completely write her off. And this is, and then here's why. And this is, I know that we don't like to talk about this as part of fan theories, but the reason that you could be certain that Eleven's back is the same reason that Barb might show up. Because at the end of the day, there's people trying to make money on this. Mm-hmm. And they're going to look at something really, really popular, and they're going to say, we want to give the people what they want because we want to get more.
That little
viewers.
Girl is a star.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've heard that if they bring Barb back, it will be not that she is brought back. The writers have declared she is dead, but they will possibly give us more of her in, like, flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. Or as a resurrected
like
monster of some form. I mean,
well, you could
you
do
know.
That, but they've flat out said that Barb, as a person, as a character, is dead.
Sure,
so.
Sure. But I wouldn't be surprised if the actress were suddenly doing stuff in some form or fashion before they're all said and done.
She could be Squirrel Girl.
And Millie Brown, it was like holding court at the Comic-Con last weekend.
Oh, I'm sure.
As she should be.
She was rapping and singing and
She's
just
amazing.
Doing it all.
You know,
and I have to say, Gaten Matarazzo, the one that played Dustin, Toothless.
Yes.
Oh, my
God.
What an amazing kid.
At first, I found him really uncomfortable, and then I just found him
When he smiled at Nancy, when he offered her that pizza, and that smile, you just fell in love with him right there.
It's just classic. And then when the bullies at school, do it, it felt like the...
Troy and
it felt like Goonies.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh no, absolutely.
So good.
I am surprised though that you missed one of the most important fan theories that came out of Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. The one that says that Steve is actually John Ralphio's father from Parks and Rec. You guys haven't heard this theory?
Yeah, that's dumb.
That Steve is
that's
in fact
hilarious.
Yeah, but he does look a lot like him.
I actually thought it was the same actor. I really
that's funny.
He does look a lot like him.
He's
and
the
he's,
worst.
He's been on other shows too.
No, I know, so but it was know. No, but I think Steve's character progression here is really interesting, and I feel like it's one of the pieces that kind of gets missed in a show full of awesome. You have a really, really great character arc going on, and a character that changes significantly from beginning to end.
Because it's almost like he's that one character from the Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah. Right. He starts himself as this John Hughes character.
Exactly.
And the next thing you know, he's fighting the Demigorgon.
He's a good guy, but he had the wrong crowd.
And you saw the progression. It was feel forced. You could see that even from the very beginning, he's not quite like the other, like
he's
the other two.
Smarmy and
sure, and he's a bit. And sure, I mean, he breaks the camera, but I got to be honest with you. If you start taking pictures of my lady,
right?
Okay, let me ask you guys a question then. How do you feel that at Christmas time she's with him and not with Will's brother?
I expected it just because she wants that perfect life. But
I think that
I wanted Jonathan Byers and Nat and Nancy to end up together.
I think that would have been the payoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why they didn't want to go that route, because it would have been too easy. But
it is only season one.
Right.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's one of those things where
that's playing the long game.
You're forced because it is such a binge watch. You know, you look at it as a movie.
Yeah,
but
it would
you
have
gotta
been
remind
awkward
yourself.
With them like cuddling up on the couch when they'd barely like
right.
spoken two words to each other prior to this.
Right. Yeah, so you got to remember that they're looking at this as, you know, season two, season three, season four. They're looking at the long game.
Yeah.
And I appreciated Joe, but I did appreciate his character in particular, because it was one of the things that kept bothering me, is that nobody turned and fought the damn thing. Like, I mean, I realize big scary monster. Again, not trying to take away from that.
I'm not going to fight it.
But at a certain point, if it's you or me.
And you got my little brother.
Exactly. We're doing it. I'm not just walking away here.
Right?
You know, like, no. You want to fight, then fine. Let's fight.
Right.
Yeah. It bothered me a little bit. And when you finally see that happen, I'm like, all right. I don't expect you to beat him. I don't expect you to win. You might die in the process. That's part of the game.
Right.
But, you know, stand up and do something.
But you're right. The progression of his character was awesome. And they really told a story there. He seemed to be the bad guy, but he really wasn't. And it turned out well.
See it across. I don't think any character went through as much growth.
But his arc wasn't so much an arc as much as it was a spike. Like, he was like bad, bad, bad. And then, boom, he was okay.
That's true.
Well, no, but you see hints of it along the way.
I don't think you see as many hints as I didn't see as many hints as you did.
Well, I mean, when you go back and you watch careful, you'll notice that like the two friends whose names I don't remember, the couple,
they're the worst.
Yeah, well, and they're the ones who are driving a lot of the worst parts of it. Now he's there and he's laughing and he's not exactly fighting it, but every once in a while he's going, "All right, guys, all right." You know, like one of those things where he's trying half-heartedly to rein it in, but not really, because he's still, you know. Mm-hmm. And then as he's and this girl is making him kind of reevaluate, and I think he's finding a part of himself that was in there the whole time.
Totally agree.
And now that he's got an outlet for it, and then when extraordinary things start happening, he has to start saying, "Look, what the hell am I doing? Like, this is way bigger than I thought it was, you know?" Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then we start to see it. Now, I don't know that she should have ended up with him. I think that once you call me, once you write me, I'm a slut.
He didn't write that. His friend did.
His friend did.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
She didn't know that he didn't write it. So.
Yeah, I just there would be some issues there. But
yeah.
All right. Finally.
You know, in my opinion, the silent hero of the movie of the show, though, is Will's dad.
Lonnie?
Yeah, he's the best. What did I do?
He's the...
What did I do?
No, that's not Will's dad.
Or not Will's
that's
dad,
Mike's
dad.
Dad.
Mike's dad, I mean.
Will's dad is the loser
Mike's dad.
With
he's
the girlfriend.
Loser. He Both just came to get money.
No, Mike's dad. He's awesome.
We did play...
He's the best TV dad in a long time.
We did play into this whole idea that there is, you know, like, that men are horrible fathers. I feel like we definitely...
Yeah, well,
like,
yeah.
We had Hopper, we had one decent male... You know, like, at all.
Yeah.
Everybody else is either evil or just an idiot.
But
you know?
Hopper started out as a really shitty person. It was only after we found out that he had lost his daughter that we start to understand why he's such a
exactly. So I think we did
person.
We did kind of play into that trope a bit. But, you know, I'm willing to forgive it. All right, final thoughts on Stranger Things before we move on here. We'll start. We'll let Michelle go last. What you got, Dan? Any final thoughts?
Not really. I mean, I'm looking forward to season two. I'm glad that we get an extra episode. And I really hope that they come in strong with season two. Because the thing with this is it didn't have a bar. You know, this was that interesting looking show on Netflix that Winona Ryder was in. And then the next thing we know, it's the biggest thing in geek, basically.
Right.
And it's going to have that to live up to with season two. And I just hope that it can.
I think for me, it's gonna be. I think going into season two, I'm concerned that they're going to do this thing where Ready Player One, this novel, that's being turned into a movie by Spielberg, as a matter of fact, another one that did a great job with the '80s and really kind of not this heavy nostalgic factor that it was cashing in on, and the second book in the series comes out. And it's just still trying to trade on the same stuff, you know? And I'm concerned about that for Stranger Things for the second season. I want to see them move. Yes, you've got the 80s in there. Yes, you're still set in the 80s. I get that. Mm-hmm. But don't learn the wrong lessons here. get you could have set this in the 50s and you still would have had an amazing show because you've got characters that we care about and a plot that is concise and no waste of time.
Right.
And if they lose those points, I don't care what year it's set in, it's going to fall apart.
Sure.
So that, I think, is my final thought. What about you, Danielle?
My biggest takeaway is I'm very excited to see what's going to happen with Will. I think that they laid down some serious groundwork for some awesome character things, which is good because, I mean, we didn't really see enough of him in season one.
Agreed.
And he was technically, like, what everything was about was him. And
he was
like,
Private Ryan.
Right. and you know, we get a couple of, like, flashback moments and stuff. But, like, he's also an incredible actor. And I'm really looking forward to see where they're going with that whole, like, he's going to be connected to the Upside Down. And I'm looking forward to, obviously, more Upside Down because that shit's scary.
Yeah, because it's kind of sucky, too, because I was watching them all on one late show or whatever. And it was the three kids and 11, and they left out poor Will. And I'm like, poor Will, like...
He's back in the Upside Down.
Right? Barb got more freaking screen time, man. That's just really... Michelle, what about you? Any big takeaways? Final thoughts?
I'm really looking forward to season two. I really think it's going to be a whole different storyline compared to, you know, what we saw before. And just the fact that the name of the actual episodes or chapters, if you will.
Sure.
So I think it's going to be a whole different storyline. Well, I mean, they're going to touch on Will, of course, because The Boy Who Came Back to Life is one of the episodes.
Right.
So we're going to definitely find out more about Will, more about the Upside Down. So that I'm looking forward to is finding out more about the Upside Down. Are there different monsters down there? Are there, you know, other things down there that we didn't get to see?
So, but you're saying you don't think we're going to be looking at a rehash?
I don't think so at all.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Very good. Well, make sure you keep attuned here for all things Stranger Things as we continue to move forward. We'll be keeping an eye on the production stuff as it comes forward. Thank you, Michelle. Awesome.
Thank you so
much. Awesome. We appreciate you being here. Moving on into our B-roll. So Luke Cage coming out.
Is a badass. We know already.
I do. I've said it before because for me, Jessica Jones, when you look at the Marvel Netflix CU, I guess. I don't know. The MNCU?
You can't say CU. C is cinematic.
Listen, this shit's cinematic.
I'll give you that.
I mean, no, but when I look at this and I'm trying to put these in context, I think for me, Jessica Jones and Daredevil Season 1, I think I like Jessica Jones Season 1 just a hair more.
I definitely did, but I didn't also finish.
Right. Well, Daredevil. But Daredevil obviously was amazing. All these amazing. But I think Luke Cage may beat them all. And they had this really, really interesting YouTube video. It's only a couple minutes long. It was right. I missed it, actually. It was sitting there in my recommended YouTube crap, which I, you know, usually scroll through. But it was about the street-level hero, the music, and talking about this a little bit. And so finally I'm flipping through and I hit play on this thing. Holy crap.
Yeah.
They've put a lot of thought into this aspect of the TV show, which is super awesome because I feel like if you're going to make music a part of your show, you've got to put... Like, you've got to make sure it's going to be legit.
You got to make sure it's authentic.
Right. Yes. And so fortunately for us, because they're not only authentic, they're going deep on this stuff. Mm-hmm. We actually happen to have a DJ.
What?
That we can
wait,
call
wait,
on.
Who?
His name is Dan Benoit. I don't know if you've heard of it before.
Epic Events, right?
EpicEventsOrlando.com.
Yeah, I actually saw him spin at a party I was at on Saturday.
Yeah, he did. As a matter of fact, I think it was at that same party. I think I saw you there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, he dropped.
Hello, hey, guys. I'd like to join the show. Hi.
oh, hey, look, folks. It's Dan from Epic Games.
Welcome,
it's Dan.
Dan.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining
us. I'm your other guest today.
So Dan, I want you to walk us through a little bit about what's going on here. And if you could, I think the most important thing I want to make sure we address here is why this matters.
Okay.
What makes this so important?
Well, first of all, I think that the fact that they've made it very clear that not only is the music going to be very hip-hop influenced, it's going to be very 90s hip-hop influenced specifically. So I think that's really going to go back to the origin story and that we're going to see a lot of early Luke Cage flashback scenes, that sort of thing. And, I mean, we all love the music of our youth, so obviously he would still be into that. But one of the defining characteristics of Luke Cage is that he is from Harlem.
Now, would this be before he meets Jessica Jones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I think it's going to be flashbacks of that.
Okay.
Basically mixed in with current
But you need to note that we're not going to be hearing the music of our 90s. We're going to be hearing original music that is inspired.
We're going to be hearing a combination of the two.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Okay.
But yeah, it's absolutely, it's the music is inspired by Wu-Tang Clan. Yep. It's inspired by Tribe Called Quest. Mm. Every episode of the season, all the episode titles are from Gangstar tracks.
Now, and so I mean, me in '90s, we hang out. Uh-huh. Some would say that I never left.
You did hang out.
We're still hanging out. But I actually, I mean, my hip-hop knowledge didn't go terribly deep. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, this is what happened here. So tell us a little bit about Gangstar.
I'm not an expert on Gangstar, but they were a New York-based rap duo along the vein of Tribe Called Quest and Wu-Tang Clan and Diggable Planets, all that stuff from the '90s that was like...
But I guess I feel like these guys were a deeper cut, though, because I mean, like...
Right, they were,
I've heard
they
of
were
everybody
the,
else.
They're lyricists.
I can tell you songs from everyone else, but Gangstar, for some reason, complete... I don't know if that was just, like, a random blip on the radar that I missed, or if there was...
Yeah, it was...
If it was a deeper cut that I was going, you know?
I think, yeah, you were switching to Hootie and the Blowfish when that came on.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
That did...
Yeah.
Hootie did lure
me
away.
Were you a Dave Matthews fan, too?
Are you kidding me? Of course I was. Blues Traveler, Hootie...
Well, Blues Traveler I support.
You know, the video that we watched had A$AP Rocky in it, it had Method Man, you heard Nas beats in the background.
Right.
It's all New York hip hop. That's what's beautiful about this, because Luke Cage is Harlem.
Right.
And you can't tell a story about Luke Cage without it.
That's fair.
You can't. And they're respecting that. It makes sense. I mean, if you were doing this in the '70s, obviously it would have been a different story.
Sure.
But we're not. I think it's really going to set a tone for the show. It's going to give it an authentic feel. And it's just the only way that you can go with Luke Cage, because he's the first, like, inner city hero.
Sure.
That we had. You know, he wasn't the first black hero. You know, we had Black Panther before him and a few others. But he was the first that was truly, like, an African-American in Harlem.
Right.
And, you know, Marvel is so New York-based.
Right.
That it's just, you need this, and it's going to be so fantastic. It's going to give it that real feel, like when you watch Daredevil, and it really feels like Hell's Kitchen.
And I think it's really another interesting part here, as you mentioned this too. I mean, when you talk about '90s hip hop, a lot of '90s hip hop is really, really inspired by and heavily influenced by the East Coast versus West Coast.
Right.
That was so. I mean, that dominated hip hop culture all throughout pretty much the decade.
At least the last half of it, yeah.
Exactly. And so I kind of feel like I missed that the first time, that you're absolutely right, though. We've got a very New York, very East Coast focus on this, on the story and on the music. And the guy said something that I absolutely loved right towards the beginning there, when he talked about how for them each episode was an album.
Yes.
You know, so they're picking these songs and putting these together. You've got some of the biggest influences. And then there's this other moment, and it passes by very quickly in the video here, mm-hmm. but you get the blues. You get this R&B, this bluesier sound to it, you know, which is where a lot of the – and he talks about the roots of hip-hop and where hip-hop came from. Mm-hmm. And you see this – I mean, and the blues and the R&B that preceded hip-hop and that was so instrumental to its development, that gave it so many of those beats and so many of the unique items mm-hmm. come straight from there. And I think that's just – it's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And it reminded me, on top of that, of Daredevil, when we talked about how – and we talked about this when we reviewed the season, that they paid a lot of attention to the sound.
Yes.
You know, that you – the way they would – and it was never anything – you know, a lot of movie – if this was a movie mm-hmm. or this was a normal network television show, whenever Daredevil was hearing something, using his hearing, you would – I mean, there would be like some tone that they would put in, or some way they would change the screen, or they would be this really obvious pandering, like, now he's hearing things that you can't normally hear.
See the Ben Affleck movie.
Exactly. But they didn't do that here. They did was they would turn up the effects, they would turn down the background music and the voices so that you could kind of get – and it was very subtle. It was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's obviously a huge difference between sound effects and music.
Right.
But seeing that same kind of care, I think, gives me a lot of hope for what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of the Wu-Tangification, to quote the director of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And holy shit.
And I mean, if you look at Wu-Tang Clan, these are a bunch of guys who grew up wanting to be superheroes. You know, they gave themselves all these, like, superhero names like RZA and Method Man, you know, to rap with. And rapping is their superpower. right. basically. And I've seen interviews with Method Man where he said Luke Cage is the character that he identified with in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or in the Marvel Universe as a child.
Sure.
He's been wanting to see Luke Cage on the screen since he was 8 years old. And here it is, and he gets to be a part of it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, because you've got somebody that looks like you. You've got, and we talk, and this is, you, we hear this over and over and over and over again,
yeah.
that people want to see somebody on the screen that looks like them, that they feel like they can identify with.
Yeah.
And what is his name, the actor's name?
Ooh, that's a good question. Daniel Fact-Checker.
Oh,
because he is awesome.
Oh, he is.
Mike Coulter?
Yes.
There we go.
Good job.
Perfect right. for Luke Cage. Whew. I mean.
He is. He's a mountain of a man.
I am. Not even man crushing. I'm just straight crushing on this guy in a huge way. He's wow.
Just climb that ebony tower.
I'm just saying. What's up, baby? Call me.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, yeah. So September 30th. We'll give you guys a little bit of time to watch it. I'm assuming I'll have watched them all by October 2nd.
I feel like with Netflix, with these heroes that they're releasing, I think I love the order that they've done this in, because I feel like they are building on the powers. As they go through it, you know, Daredevil, he has human strength. He has human endurance. He just has really good hearing, you know.
Well, and reflexes and a couple of things.
Martial arts skills. Yeah.
Right, but then you go
right.
Jessica
human.
Jones, who has super strength
mm-hmm.
and can jump,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And now you've got the Bulletproof Man and Luke Cage,
right,
with super strength. And then we're going to go to Iron Fist.
Which is where you're
getting into a little bit more of the like crazy comic book stuff. You know what I mean? But they're easing us into it so that each bite is a little bit more palatable. You know what I mean?
And still heavily grounded the entire way through.
Right.
Which I feel like they've taken all of the best lessons from Nolan's Batman trilogy.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, this grounded realism. But I feel like, unlike Nolan, they didn't shy away from
fun
and a little bit more. I mean, this is still fantasy,
yeah.
you know, this is still,
oh, absolutely.
And I feel like maybe the Nolan universe lost bits of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Marvel Netflix is right there. It's right there. All right.
I love it. They are just doing everything right.
I'm so looking forward to, I think this may be the first time I've ever said this. I think I want to pay money for the television soundtrack.
Wow.
Wow.
I think that will be worth, I mean, I would actually like to pay money for it. Because I just want to, support what they're doing here. I want to support the love and attention that they gave this.
Yeah. Will your wife let you? Because we know that she wears the pants.
It's a small purchase, so I should be good. I mean, I'll have to come out of my allowance and everything. But
right. But, no Taco Tuesday for you that week.
Yeah, probably.
Aww.
These things happen, though. Listen, you sacrifice, all right? Mm. All right.
But tacos? That's a hard
Maybe not
one.
Tacos. Maybe I'll find something else. It doesn't matter. but yeah, so Luke Cage, again, premiering September 30th on Netflix. Do not miss it. And we will absolutely be doing a full episode on Luke Cage once we give everybody a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
So I think that should cover it. Anything else for you guys on Luke Cage before we move on? Wonderful. All right, let's get into some shameless plugs. Danielle, what you got?
So this week I would like to plug something from last week, which is the Manaforge game, people. I just went on the Kickstarter today, and they are only at like 6,000, and he needs 23,000. I personally have already backed it.
Show some love, people.
Show some nice. Love. So go to Kickstarter.com, search for Manaforge. It's the game that we played last week. We talked to the creator, Brian Klein, which does rhyme. I don't care what you say. and make sure that you show him some love, because this game has got to get made. I don't know what I will do if it doesn't. I will be very sad. Don't make me sad, people.
Don't make her sad, guys. We have to listen to it for a long time.
A long time.
Yeah. Dan, you got anything for shameless plugs?
As usual, I will go ahead and plug Epic Events DJ Services for all of your DJ and lighting services. Find me at epiceventsorlando.com. I said it without her talking.
I didn't even
That's
do it.
That's a first.
I didn't even do it.
And actually, you know what? I've got one more just because
we've
been talking about a Netflix series in hip-hop, and I have to mention The Get Down. On Netflix.
Is that good?
It's so good.
Get down, get down.
It takes place in the late 70s in New York. And it's like, it's the birth of hip hop. It's this guy going, oh, what is this with these DJs and guys talking over it? And he becomes a lyricist, and it's amazing.
All right.
It's so good.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering. I've seen the stuff for it, and I wasn't sure whether or not it was going to be something worth it for me.
It's great. It's basically it's almost a musical.
Yeah, it's kind of the rock opera feel.
Yeah,
or hip hop opera, I guess would be
a little bit. Yeah, but there's disco in it. There's soul. There's gospel, and there's old school hip hop vibe. So it's fantastic. I love it.
All right. Well, I am actually going to. I'm gonna plug us for just a second.
Ooh.
Here.
Ooh.
I'm really, really excited with some of the upcoming episodes that we've got. I just want to take a second to let you guys know about them too.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're fine. You're good. We are the FAA passed regulations last week with heavily regulating the drone industry and what's got to happen and new tests that have to be done or whatever else. And we have got a fantastic guest, Jason Franciosa, who's going to be former military, did drones for the military, and he's going to be coming and talk with us about them. So we're really excited for that. And then on the 20th, we've got our fall TV preview. We're going to be breaking down all the upcoming shows for the fall, including, of course, Luke Cage, along with a bunch of other shows that will be coming out. Hopefully, we're going to get some more details. Details have been really sparse on a lot of the shows that we've been trying to, follow. Because Powerless is supposed to be coming out in the fall, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So I still have not been able to find squat about it. So we're going to, hopefully, by the time we get to the 20th, we'll be there. And then on the 27th, we now have it confirmed. I'm sorry, recording the 27th. These episodes will drop on the 15th and the 22nd. And then on the 29th, end of September, we are very excited to welcome back Katrina, who is our senior Harry Potter correspondent. She, you can't be a correspondent.
Why does everyone look at me when you say that? I'm not a correspondent.
No, she, almost interesting. Why does everyone look at me? Well, I got the stink eye when she says it too. But she's going to be talking to us about Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, along with a few other things that are going on in the Potterverse. So we're going to be catching up with her as well. So make sure you stay tuned for all of those things. And if you have any show ideas, questions, comments, or concerns, make sure you let us know. Also going to take a second and plug Games to You. Right? Am I doing that one? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Games to You will be opening up at Altamont Springs this Sunday, noon. I think we're going to have a couple folks that are going to try to stop by. Depends on how the schedule goes. Apparently, I have to go be like a father that day for a little while. So, but we're going to be down there. There's going to be some stuff going on. I believe her name is Elizabeth. Uh-huh. We'll be down there along with Travis, who does so many awesome things for us and for the Geek Street Station. Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place where people can like get to us, right?
Mm.
You wanna share any of that with them? Or?
I mean, I guess if you're asking me to tell them where they can find us.
I mean, that's one way to put it, sure.
You can find us on Facebook at For Geeks Sake. That's
Liar.
_S. You can also find us on the Twitter at For Geeks Sake. That's
F-O-R.
Two S's. Elizabeth is her name.
Her name is Elizabeth.
And she does a fabulous job for us.
She does.
You can also find us on geekstreetstation.com. Mm-hmm. And then click For Geek's Sake. It is where all of our episodes go up. We also have articles on there.
True.
You also can find our sister podcasts, The Thirsty Gamers and Cast Revive.
Cousins.
And that is where you can find us.
Wonderful. You know, you can also email us at admin@geekstreetstation.com.
That's true.
Or my personal favorite, because it turns out you can make up, come up with other emails. They also have the same address, but you can give different, like, pseudonyms, I guess, for it.
Yeah.
So you can also email us at bigdamnheroes@geekstreetstation.com.
Nice.
Which makes me pretty happy. I actually want to create, they all go to the same mailbox, right? But you can come up with as many things as you want at your domain
name. They're called aliases.
Aliases, there we go. So I just want to come up with like 1,000 aliases that all go to the same email box. Big Damn Heroes was just the one I was really excited by, but I haven't gotten brave enough to put that on a business card yet. So, because those cost money.
Yeah.
Not like lots of money, but. I mean,
all
okay,
of the money.
If you do it right, they cost a decent amount of money, but like I do them, no, they don't. All right, I believe that is going to do it for us. I mean, last chance, anybody? Everybody good?
Yeah, we're good.
Wonderful. In that case, until next time, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, this is Al Sterling saying, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.